So now we come to a different categorization, social class, though this has a not so much of a significance, but yes, it does drive you as a understanding is needed, and for many products it does matter. So social class is the society classification on certain aspects. It could be income, it could be wealth, the power, the prestige on which the society is divided. Society continues to be divided right from the time it was formed. Researchers have found this as a strata. They have defined this as a various strata of the society where certain group of people fall in that strata of the society. It's a division of the society at large. Society at large, based on the hierarchy of a distinct status, hierarchy of a status based on income, based on the trade in which they are. So that's what we regard doctors as a very high strata, this thing, you know, their opinion matter. We do not regard the cobbler or the sweeper that much of a significance or an importance. So that's a strata, that's a division in the society. Marketeer can use you of this strata science very well. So to understand why marketeers, it is very important. So there are certain underlying aspects to this social class. They are often measured in terms of the social status, the status in the society. That's how they are generally measured. High income, poor, low income, middle class, as we say. It's hierarchical. Hierarchical means you belong to a strata and you can aspire to go above. So I may be like on my income 8 days, etc. I was say like a middle class. Then over this thing, I built myself. So probably I can be today classified as a high income, person. So this is how the hierarchy is. So there's an aspiration to grow. So that's where the marketing segmentation is also possible based on the strata that one can look at as an opportunity. Strata and the behavioral aspects are having a commonness. So you are into particular strata and therefore your behavior is aligned with that people, other behavior in that strata. So now the behavioral aspects generally marketer look at. Frame of reference is also limited. Your frame of reference is the strata in which you are. So because people living around you are also of similar nature, so your frame of reference is also aligned with the strata in the society. So that's where the opportunity for the marketeers are there. So social status, when you say social status, can be wealth, can be power, can be prestige, on which a classification is possible. Marketer considers it differently. Marketing mix can be evolved to satisfy the specific strata of the society. You can have a different marketing mix to appeal to different strata of the society for the same product, or product made to align with the different strata of the society, as the case may be. Here is a representative example wherein these are the most common classification: lower class people to upper lower, lower middle, upper middle, lower upper, and upper upper. So this is a common, say, kind of an international classification. Each country may or may not publish data that way, but yes, you do get an idea about low income group, middle class, upper class, etc. There are additional like HNIS and, you know, the high income net worth and all. So that's a different thing. Systematic approach to measuring this, you know, has helped, and there are broad category under which it is done. Subjective measure, reputational measure, and objective measures. So what are the subjective measures? In this approach, the measuring a social class or individual asked to estimate their own social class. So idea is, how do you go about doing this? Here straight away a question is asked to a person and he is given an alternative and he's been asked to choose. So if I am asked whether you think you belong to lower, lower middle, upper up middle, or upper class, or upper, whatever. So I may say, I belong to upper middle, you know. So that's what my subjective assessment about me that I have given. Reputational measures, yeah. So here the approach to measure this thing is to help of an informant. You take an informant and you take his help or the judgment concerning social class about which you are trying to get the information about. So you have somebody from, say, that community, somebody from that group of strata of people picked up, and then you try to understand what are the dynamics of that social class, and from there the marketer can find his way forward. Objective measures, they are selected demographic variables. There are certain demographic variables on which demographic variables are the data points about the which the data is available, either in the population census or any other this thing. So like income classification, gender classification, age classification. So these are what, so on that, that's an objective classification or way of measuring the social class. So variable chosen could be, as I told you, income, occupation, etc. You have single variable indexes or you have composite variable indexes. So single variable indexes will be either talking about occupation or income, etc. And composite variable means they will take more than one variable into account. We will look at a composite measurement, which is in India prevalent, is known as a socio-economic categorization, SEC classification. Most marketeers, while talking to an agency, will convey to them as to what is this SEC classification in which their target group of customers are falling. Traditional classification used to represent SECA represents white collar, SECV represents affluent but not white collar. That kind of classification was there. So we were understanding about social class. Now social class, as we said, you know, needs to be measured. So how does this happen? So there is a country-wide classification that has been created. The Market Research Society of India, along with the various bodies and government, this thing have come up with this class categorization. So here the education is taken from illiterate to postgraduate and all, and then the number of durables that one occupies. So number of durables starts with simplest thing like telephone to other amenities, etc. And accordingly, there are those codes which have been given. Okay. Now, if I take this graduate, you know, postgraduate owning almost 8 durables, then there is a categorization called A3. So when an advertising agency is told that my target segment is say A3, A2, etc., then they exactly know what are we referring to, and accordingly they will try to help you with media and those planning, so to say. There is for the rural India, while the above is true for the urban India, for rural India also the categorization has been developed. This has been developed on number of pakka houses, so that pakka, semi-pakka to kacha, and then the literacy level. In rural India also the education is taken, so illiterate to right from postgraduate, etc., and then these codes are given, R1, R2, R3 and R4. So there are those only 4 codes. R1 is the uppermost and R4 is the lowest most. This also is classification developed by the Market Research Society of India and gives it idea. So if you tell that I want to attract R3, that means the pakka ghar and somebody up to 9 standard educated. So that kind of understanding will come to the person who is then sitting on your advertising creativity to like media campaign, etc. So social class measurement enables person to know his ability to spend. Ability to spend of course depends on his income. So there is a relevance to this. So income of the family, social class, a higher class, etc., middle class, etc., all this categorization of a social class gives a marketeer an access in terms of knowing their need, kind of a product that they may like to have, their ability to spend, that is that money that they may have to spend, etc., and accordingly they can tweak their communication for them. So then we come to understanding another subject called culture. So another influencing factor, we have completed social class, and earlier also we have completed family and those aspects. Now we come to understand culture and its impact. Culture is a influence on an individual. So culture is very simple term, the personality of the society. So culture of India is being talked about generally. Okay. So culture of religion is not talked about. It's like a culture. So India represents a particular culture. So that culture demonstrates certain things being prevalent there. Yeah. So, okay. There may be certain legal bans, etc. So that may also is an imposed aspect. Say like, for example, beef is not allowed in country like India. Alcohol is not encouraged, so to say. So that's a part of a culture, and that gives a distinct characteristics about the society that is there. And so definition has been given, so it's not the definition which is of an interest to us, but what we are trying to say that culture has its own belief, values, moral and ethical principles under which the common person are supposed to align with, behave in a way. as such. So that distinctiveness influences an individual also, because he is driven by the culture in which he is grown up and thriving, kind of. Okay, so that's the importance of culture. We will not do something which is, say, like out of culture. We may do something which is out of say the societal principles or a moral this thing, but may not do out of culture. There may be the legal repercussions to that also. So that's what overall understanding. Therefore, the marketeers are keen. Okay, why? How can you influence the people of a particular culture? So the root that they find is a customs. Every culture has certain customs. People living in that society or that people living in that culture has approved customs. So can you influence that part? That's what marketing tries to see, that, you know. Okay, so culture and customs go kind of hand in hand. Culture has certain characteristics, certain salient aspects, which is what we will try to just touch base upon. The invisible hands of culture: the culture satisfies the need, culture is learned, culture is shared, and culture is always dynamic. So invisible hands of culture means knowingly, unknowingly. Unknowingly also, we have imbibed various things in us, which is a result of the culture in which we have grown up. So that invisible hand shapes my usage habits, shapes my consumption habits, shapes my preference for the product, shapes my rejection of the nature of product or the service, etc. So that's what you call an invisible hand. It satisfies the need. Culture allows you to do certain things in a way it is expected to be done, provides you the means also and the routes also. So it like satisfies my need. So need arousal and need fulfillment kind of thing has been well laid out in my culture. So that's what it satisfies the need, is a learned thing. And as you grow up, you start learning. Cultural values are being taught to you both at the family level, parental level, to like school level, etc. So you are learning the cultural aspects of the society in which you are getting up, you know, coming up, etc. Culture is shared. So India is very, you know, willing to share the cultural ties with Russia, cultural ties with say Indonesia or say US or Britain, etc. So there it means that the culture can be shared. There is an exchange of cultural programs, as we hear, the exchange of cultural program, because each culture wants to know what is about the other culture that is so unique, distinct, makes them like that, etc. So culture is something which is shareable. It can be shared. Sharing impacts, may impact or influence. So like we are getting influenced by Western culture, as we say. So our food habits, our cloth habits, our various things are getting shaped up by Western culture influence on us. Culture is dynamic. Culture keeps changing constantly due to the impact of time, due to the impact of other external environmental factors. When I say external, means environment is not heat, cold, etc., but what people see and hear around and what is going on and going around in the world, in the continent at large, impacts the culture. So culture is also dynamic. So these are the three aspects of five aspects of culture that one need to be aware about. Now the marketeer has to smartly use this as an opportunity, use this as a reason to change, shift, etc. Use as a look for what in it can be tapped to influence the attitude, etc., or the behavioral aspects of the consumer. So that's the power of it. Today, as you see, the culture is shared. So I've just discussed this, so I'm not repeating. We love nowadays Chinese food, Chinese this thing, etc. So that also phase India has seen. Now continental and where other dishes are making popular, Thai dishes are becoming popular. So various cultural values in which family is growing. So family bonding, religious also has a overall cultural impact. Now we see that we are getting religiously unconscious, as we say, which is also a dynamic nature of culture which is happening. People are hardworking. Indians are considered as hardworking, you know. We seek happiness in the outside things, you know. So therefore we love to travel, we love to use music, etc. So that's what, so this is what is the youthfulness of our India is very high. So culturally youth is very dynamic, adopts to things, etc., as it is known. So therefore, the Western influence is very high. So, and that's what marketing taps it for its advantage. Here is an example, or so to say, some of the quick example. HDFC Sar Utha Ke Jio. It's a value in India. Person's attitude, person's respect in his, whether he's standing on his feet or not. So that's a very powerful cultural value in India. So therefore, HDFC came out with this Sar Utha Ke Jio, which is a plan for you to retire respectfully. Even in your retirement life, you can live with your sir, sir utha ke jiyo. That's what, you don't have to beg and borrow from others. Dabar Chyawanprash, they say ke sai 60 saal ke budhe ya 60 saal ke jawan. So that's also a cultural thing. They tried showing that our traditional way of consumption, etc., makes people youthful, makes people stronger. So that's what. Indians as cultural group can still be influenced on traditional items. We are still traditional driven. Howsoever, we get influenced by Western this thing, etc. So things like saris, ornaments, bindis, etc., are still part of our style statements. So you see, old rituals for Gen X. So parachute advance. Parachute realize that the Gen X may not like the oiliness of the hair visible. So they have created an oil which is Parachute Advance, which will not give the oily feeling, and yet it will provide the nourishment needed. So adventurous outlook, thumbs up, it's like trying to build and trying to capitalize on that. Levi's denim, where it is trying to promote this for the even older generation, and gap between young and old they are trying to remove. Marks and Spencer. So various things are using the cultural dimension of Indian society to capitalize a market for them. So that's the power of culture. What advertisers have realized is that the advertisements can influence the subcultures also and values, etc., not the core culture. You cannot really make the core culture change. So that's where the advertiser tries to focus something which is a subcultural aspects. Those who did not understand these aspects about India have realized painfully that Indians with whom they are dealing with is a conservative Indian, and they believe in traditional value, and then they failed. They strongly came in India asking to break certain cultural thread, and then they realized that India, all said and done, adopting Western culture, changing the social cultural threads, are dimensions are changing, but it's not as open as yet what they expected it to be, and therefore their communication has failed to make the difference. So Indians are driven still by certain core cultural values, nationality, religion. So we have various nationalities we have accepted, religions are there, multi-religion, geographically they are diverse, this thing, northeast, southwest, race, Jain, Kachis, Patels, whatnot, Nagars, etc., age, gender, every aspects are there in our culture. Now these are those considered as a core cultural values. That you cannot, advertiser or marketeer should not, but you can align to certain subcultural things in that. Okay, so we come to that last section where some critical snippets of the Indian core cultural values are given. Each subculture offers a unique, identifiable, homogeneous segments which marketeers can utilize. These are subcultural categories. So social class, lower middle, etc., can be, or a doctor, profession driven, this thing can be done. Community specific can be done. You can do for teenage, you can do for adults and elder, adult diaper, etc., are the example. Indian exporters of basmati rice can focus on a standardized advertisement and still win a huge market even in US, UK, Europe, because that basmati rice and that delicacy out of it, etc., cuts across geographic location. So that's another power, another aspects of knowing the subcultural values. Similarly, age, baby boomers, as well as elderly consumers, all these various subcultural aspects can be leveraged to your advantage. Now we learn about another important aspect which influences consumers' behavior, which is opinion leadership. What is opinion leadership? It is like certain individuals become and play a role of providing you with his strong opinion, which is based on the knowledge and he is keen to share it wide and spread, you know, across. That's where you know, he becomes an opinion leader, because his given view, shared views are being accepted by people, and they start also behaving in that order. And so that's what this is happening with us in many ways. As you can see, our opinion leader, or can be your friend, can be mother, can be peer. So that's also, we are experiencing this day in, day out. So what makes this opinion leader a powerful force for the impact? Yani, so let's understand the dynamics of this opinion leadership process. First is, they have a credibility. Their credibility is of course acquired over time, but that acquired over time is out of the sheer knowledge. Their opinions have made a difference to the individuals. Individuals have benefited out of it. So because they provide you reliable information, they research themselves. They either talk to the person or people or organization, etc., before they release things, etc. They provide information, they provide advisory, they provide consultative opinions, etc. It's category specific. That's also another reason. Now, I may be opinion leadership, I may have in marketing, but I may not be an opinion leader in the CRM, or I may not be opinion leader in artificial intelligence, because I do not know much about it. So it's a category specific. That's why it's more relevant. Opinion leaders are more knowledgeable. They are supposedly more aware. They are more live. They are more knowledgeable. Therefore, they are more knowledgeable. They remain in sync with what's happening around in that domain. And therefore, they have a prior intimation, prior inclination, prior updates than the others, from which they build their opinion. They go wide and far, you know, to convey this. That's where they get that opinion leadership status. What is the extent of influence these people have? Yeah, and so extent of influence is paramount, so to say. We are driven by the opinions of the opinion maker. At least opinion is one of the factor in our decision making, if not the only factor. This opinion come to us in many ways. Yani, even for that matter, the blog writer is an opinion leader in that specific area of the specialization. Ranking or the feedback that individual has given, that also becomes our opinion. You know, this thing that we frame our thought about buying a specific product or the brand or not, etc. So they come to us in many ways, and from there we try to develop our decision. We try to support our decision, being sound or not sound, etc. So it does impact. There are techniques to measure. The techniques to measure the opinion leader and the power thereof, so to say. So these are the four designated methods. We will study them one by one. Self-designated method is the first method. We ask others what role they play in influencing the consumption of others in the recent past. So we try to get a feedback from the opinion seekers about the one who has made a difference in their life, in terms of change in their consumption or in preference of their consumption, etc., in the recent past. So that's how we try to determine who has a strong opinion, whom people are following. Therefore, the concerned person becomes an opinion leader. Sociometric research. Here, a self-contained population. Self-contained population is nothing but population that meets certain prerequisite requirements are examined to verify consumption-related or a consumer-related conversation within the society. So what kind of a conversation going on? We determine the source of that conversation as to whom they believe, and from there, what information that they receive and how this information is passing on, from there we derive at the influence of the opinion maker or a leader and who that person is. The third is a key informant method. Here we identify one person from the strata or the group, so to say, and we ask them whom he will name the opinion leader which has a stronger influence on the kind of group that he is representing. So to illustrate this, actually a college professor may know which one of the several students are most likely to be opinion leader for a particular class. So they will know as to ye class mein kiski chalti hai, as you see. So overall say college mein kiski chalti hai vagera. So they say ke they are the opinion leader. So that's a key informant method that one can use. And last is the objective method. It's a type of a control experiment. Experimentation, as you know, consumer research also we have studied. So it's a kind of a laboratory. It's a laboratory if it is done in a structured environment. If it is done in an open environment, it's an open experimentation. Here, new products are placed in the hands of a chosen group, and then interpersonal communication is examined. So what kind of interpersonal communication gets exchanged within the group? And whom group started believing, so that also comes, whose opinion started getting stronger acceptance among the people, and that's how the opinion leader is determined, and the followers are determined, and the overall impact is gauged. So these are the four methods where opinion leadership measurement takes place. It helps you to determine who is the opinion leader and what nature of influence does he have on the reference group or on the group, so to say. So friends, this was another aspect that really influences the consumer buying behavior. So we studied different influencing factors, different influencing aspects in the life of a consumer that influences his behavior. Means we started with family, we got into society, we got into, so to say, culture, subculture, and we got into reference groups, and you know, we got into finally this opinion leadership, etc. So this actually chapter should give you an idea that you as a marketer should be conscious about the role that opinion leader play on your target group, and then it is up to you to work out your strategy and tactics to see that you utilize that advantage to your benefit. Thank you.